WOR Mutual is proud to present Walter Hampton. Walter Hampton, a great and versatile actor, has in his time played many parts, but none quite like Leonidas Witherall, the hero of the adventures which we'll broadcast every Sunday evening. We'll meet Leonidas in action and plenty of it in a moment. At this moment, we invite you to meet Walter Hampton.
Thank you. Perhaps you know Leonidas Witherall through the entertaining mystery stories by Miss Alice Tilton. I like the man. I expect to have a good time acting him. And I hope you'll have a good time hearing his adventures. One of the intriguing things about Leonidas is his beard. Because of it, he bears a resemblance to William Shakespeare, so that strangers often ask Leonidas if they haven't met him in the public library. Others address him point blank as Bill Shakespeare, or just plain Bill. Then, too, there is Leonidas' double life. He's the owner of Meredith, an exemplary school for boys in a pleasant New England town. And privately, confidentially, he's the author of the Lieutenant Hazeltine stories. Lieutenant Hazeltine is a fabulous hero, a master of every situation. On the radio, he is introduced like this.
Hazeltine to the rescue!
Yes. Now, Leonidas, in his own life, is always tumbling into strange and unexpected situations. So you can imagine his mixed feelings when confronted with a real mystery of his own, and somebody says, as somebody always does...
You ought to hear Lieutenant Hazeltine on the radio. He'd know what to do.
But so, as you may discover, does Leonidas. As we meet him, he's giving a tea for the good ladies of a local club. They're assembled in his living room, and they chatter cheerfully as they anticipate the refreshment and Leonidas.
Mr. Witherall, downstairs.
He said he has an unexpected visitor, but he'll be up in a jiffy.
Ladies, please. Yes.
Mr. Witherall will be with us in a moment, so let's be patient, shall we?
Oh, here he is now.
Look like Mr. Shakespeare.
Beautiful beard. Oh, well, Leonidas, it's about time.
Ladies, there'll be no tea this afternoon. There's been a murder.
What? Leonidas, if this is some distasteful little joke.
Oh, no, I'm quite serious, Maud. There has been a murder. Oh, no fault of my own, you understand. It was completely unanticipated.
Oh, my
goodness. Mrs. Mother, can you help the ladies with their things and show them to the door?
All right. Well, I never. Murder. Come on, Leon, just walk downstairs with me. Now tell me everything that's happened. Who's been murdered?
Maud, why don't you just find your things?
Oh, my cape's downstairs in the hall closet.
In the hall closet? Are you sure?
Of course I am. Why? I hung my cape there when I came in, right in that closet at the bottom of the stairs.
Why, it's impossible. You couldn't have put your cape there. That door's been locked for days.
What? Oh, goodbye, dear.
See you
Thursday.
Goodbye.
Yes. Did you get your things, Mrs. Haverstraw?
No. He says this closet's locked.
Locked?
Yes. He says it's been locked for days. Did you ever hear of such a thing?
You can try the door if you want to.
Well, I certainly will. Well...
See?
Oh, it was such a beautiful cape, too.
Maud, my dear, you don't need a cape. It would be gilding the lily.
Oh.
As the gentleman I'm supposed to resemble has said, to gild refined gold, to paint the lily, to throw a perfume on the violet, to smooth the ice, and more to that effect.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes. Good afternoon, Maud.
Oh, I do hope that awful, awful murder, or whatever it is, works out nicely. Of course, if there was someone around like Lieutenant Hazeltine. Did you ever hear him on the radio?
Lieutenant Hazeltine? Oh, yes. I've heard him, much to my own pleasure and profit.
Well, if you don't know what to do about this murder business, just imagine what Lieutenant Hazeltine would do. He's never wrong, you know. Positively infallible. Have you read the books about him, too?
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Maud.
You know, I helped her hang the tape in there. I don't understand this at all.
Good afternoon, Maud.
Oh, that was the most exquisite cape, and I... Well, you look for it, and I'll call you later. Good afternoon, Leonidas. Mrs. Mellor.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Haverstraw.
Now that they've gone...
Goodness, Mr. Witherall. I completely forgot. There was a message for you from a Mr.
Yes?
Yes. I spoke to him on the telephone a while ago. He's on his way over. I think he said he was coming from the bank.
Mr. Yerkes arrived. I've seen him.
When?
He was my unexpected visitor. That's what delayed me. In fact, he's still here.
He is? Where?
In the hall closet.
Mr. Witherall, putting guests in the closet.
Mr. Yerkes is hardly in a position to complain.
Why?
He's dead.
Well, I'm glad. Huh? There's a dead man in that closet?
Yes. He rang my bell a while ago. I opened the door, and Mr. Yerkes staggered in. He was shot in the head, probably while standing on my doorstep.
I didn't hear no shot.
I thought it was a blowout, too. He fell over there on the rug.
Oh,
I realized he wasn't exactly a pleasant decoration to have at the door when the ladies left, so I put him in the closet, temporarily, of course.
You aren't supposed to touch a corpse, ever. Lieutenant Hazeltine never does that.
Now, that's another point, Mrs. Mullet. You almost slipped up when Mrs. Haverstraw was here. I must impress upon you again the fact that I write the Hazeltine books is our precious secret. So let's be more careful, eh?
Are you going to open the closet door now?
Certainly. A cadaver doesn't belong in a closet, does it?
Who shot him?
I don't know.
Well?
I haven't any idea what this is all about. The last time I spoke to Mr. Yerkes, he called me from his bank. Said he wanted to come over to speak with me as soon as he could. Something urgent, he said. The next thing I knew, my doorbell rang, and there he was.
Good gracious.
Evidently, when he spoke to you, he wanted to confirm the appointment. Oh, would you pick up that phone and call the police?
Well, it's about time. Keeping a dead man in a closet. Why, it's sacrilegious. Oh, you going to open that door?
Not just yet. Would you please call the... I'll answer it.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello. Is that you, Witherall?
Yes.
This is Chris. I'm at the library.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain over the phone, but this
way.
Is terribly important.
Oh, what's wrong?
I need $500.
$500?
$500?
I need it tonight. I've got to have it.
What is it?
Could you help me out?
What's the trouble?
Just a second, Cripps. It's Professor Cripps at the school library, Mrs. Mullet.
Oh, I know him. I look after his room every second Thursday. A very nice gentleman.
Oh, then perhaps you could spare him $500 from underneath an old mattress, possibly.
Me?
Cripps?
Yes?
Pardon the interruption. I think I can dig it up for you.
In cash? You see, the banks are closed and I need the cash immediately.
That's all right. I can get it for you.
Would you bring it here to the library as soon as you can? This is terribly important. And if...
Yes, I'll be over. I think I understand.
By the way, that book you borrowed, Hearts Ablaze, it's way overdue. Would you bring it with you?
Hearts Ablaze? I never borrowed a book called... Hello. Hello. He hung up. That's odd. He doesn't usually make mistakes like that.
Now, shall I call the police?
Oh, yes, of course. I wonder what sort of trouble Cripps could be in.
Did he ever ask you for money before?
No, never. You know him, Mrs. Mullet. He leads a very quiet life. He's been going along smoothly for years, ever since he came to Meredith, back in 1927, I think it was. He came to us right after he was graduated from Heidelberg.
Mm-hmm. Have you a family?
No.
He doesn't go out gallivanting, does he?
No, not a bit of it. As far as I know, he's completely wrapped up in his work at the school library. Now, suddenly, he needs $500. Why did he mention that book? Well, wouldn't this be the time to call the police, Mrs. Mullet?
Mm-hmm.
Police headquarters. Sergeant McCobble.
Sergeant, this is Leonidas Witherall.
Bill Shakespeare. Hello there, Bill.
Sergeant, I'm at home. You remember 40 Birchill Road?
Yes.
I'm calling about Mr. Yerkes, the president of Dalton Bank.
What about him?
He's been murdered.
Everything
what?
Happens in
he
this house.
He was shot through the head just a few minutes ago.
Where's the body?
Right here.
All right, don't touch anything. Don't leave and don't let anyone else leave. We're on our way.
He'll be here in a moment.
Now you'll take Mr. Yerkes out of there, huh?
No, I think he's been disturbed enough today. Oh, incidentally.
Yes?
That bust over the alcove, the bust of...
Shakespeare?
Yes, Shakespeare. Is it necessary to put the bust on that narrow shelf? You have Mr. Shakespeare in a very precarious position.
Well, you just wait till I dust him off. He looks fine up there. You'll see. There.
Careful, Mrs. Mullet. Careful.
Just you never mind about the house. You should be busy trying to find out who shot Mr. Yerk. He was shot right here on your doorstep, wasn't
he? Yes, so he was.
Well, then go on. Get busy.
Let's see. Yerkes were shot directly in the back of the head. Therefore, the bullet must have come from a small area in that direction. Let's go out on the lawn and have a look around. Now, whoever fired the gun wouldn't stand out here in the open. He'd conceal himself.
He might have stood behind the tree.
Now you sound like Lieutenant Hazeltine, Mrs. Mullet.
You know what he'd do, don't you?
Well, I ought to. He'd stand behind a tree like this and see if the murderer could have done his sniping from there. Another Hazeltine touch. Footprints.
Goodness. What kind of footprints are those?
They're from a very strange kind of shoe, I'd say. They look extremely large, square. Definitely not the type of shoe worn by an ordinary man. Of course, if we knew why somebody should want to kill Yerkes...
He was a banker, wasn't he?
Yes.
Well, then it's a question of common sense. Who'd be after a banker? Someone who needs money.
And that brings us back to Cripps, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, there are the police. They can take over.
Hello, Bill Shakespeare. Well,
hello.
Mrs. Mullet.
How do?
Shakespeare, where's my yurt?
In my house, in the hall closet.
In the closet?
I moved the body in there myself.
You moved the body?
You see, I had a few guests upstairs, and he was in the way.
Oh, okay. All right, boys. Get Yerkes out of the closet. Usual routine, pictures, medical report.
Okay, sir.
Well, now tell me, Bill, exactly what happened.
Well, Mr. Yerkes telephoned to say he was coming over. He wanted to talk to me about something absolutely vital, he said. I never found out what it was. He rang my bell. I opened the door. Found him shot in the head.
Did you see anyone around?
No, but Mrs. Mullet and I were just looking at these rather grotesque footprints.
Where?
Here.
Oh. Say, that is a funny kind of print, isn't it? I'll have it photographed and measured. Right now, I'd say the next stop is Mr. Yerkes' bank. You come along, Witherell, huh?
Is it necessary for me to go to the bank with you? I'd much prefer to leave the entire matter in your hands.
Look, Bill, Yerkes was shot on your doorstep. The matter is very much in your hands, Shakespeare. Yes, sir. You and I are going to the bank. Mr. Yerkes' secretary?
Yes, I am.
Helen is Mrs. Mullet's daughter. Did you know that, Sergeant?
She is.
And she's been Mr. Yerkes' secretary here in the bank quite some time, haven't you, Helen?
Yes, for about 3 years.
What kind of a fellow was he? Friendly?
Oh, yes. He was always very nice to me. He even tried to help me get into the Dalton Summer Theater.
Helen's ambition is the stage.
Oh.
She hopes to become an actress.
Yes.
Now, Helen, what we want to know is, do you remember anything about Mr. Yerkes? Anything that took place recently? Anything that might be a clue as to why someone should want to kill him?
Well, there was Mr. Cripps. He was here this afternoon.
Him again. Go on.
Well, I was typing outside of Mr. Yerkes' office. Mr. Cripps wanted to borrow $500. I gathered that much. He said, "So, you're going to turn me down." And Mr. Yerkes seemed very upset. He said, "Get out of here. I won't be responsible for what happens to you, Cripps. Besides, I don't believe your story at all."
Very good impersonation, Helen. But what was the story he didn't believe?
I don't know.
Where are you going, Bill?
Well, if you'll excuse me, Sergeant, I'm going to the library.
To see Cripps?
That's right.
What for?
I want to return a book.
You haven't any book with you?
That's just the point. I'm going to return a book I never borrowed.
What's that?
See you later, Sergeant.
Door, Jenks. It's Witherall.
Hello, Mr. Witherall.
Sorry, library's closed.
Oh, I see. Didn't you close very early today?
Yes, professor's been having me lock up early these days.
Where is he? Is he still here?
Professor Cripps? No, I'm all alone.
Jenks, do you mind if I come in?
Everything's locked up.
Well, you'd be doing a very great favor for me. I want to return a certain book, a book called Heart the Blaze.
You reading that stuff?
I realize it's against the rules to allow anyone inside, but it won't take a moment, and it's so important.
All right, sir, but you will have to find your way in the dark. I don't dare turn on lights. It's me, my job.
I
have a flashlight, though. It might help.
Good.
Here. How's that?
Excellent, thank you.
There's a card and catalog, see it?
Yeah. Let's see. H-E-A.
You aren't going to go downstairs, are you?
I'm going wherever the card says I'll find the book. Why?
Well, tell the truth, it's mighty spooky down there. For the last few days, I've been hearing lots of noises. Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, now, Jake, stop talking.
Yeah, I had an uncle once. He didn't believe in ghosts. One night, he went to a house on Greystone Cliffs. Then, quick as a wink, he ends up in the morgue.
Mm-hmm, too bad, too bad.
Couldn't you wait till tomorrow when everybody's here?
Well, I'll go alone. How's that?
Well, I wish you wouldn't go at all. It's for your own good. I could swear I've been hearing creatures from the other world. Do you hear that?
What?
Listen.
There are noises in every building, Jenks. It's because the beams become warped and... here we are. Hearts ablaze. Room 3, stack 7. Good. I'm going downstairs.
I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, will you be all right without your flashlight to expose the spooks?
Oh, don't joke about a subject like that. I had a cousin once. He was always joking about graves and coffins and... You know where he ended up?
In the morgue, quick as a wink.
How'd you guess?
Room 3, stack 7. That's this way. I'll be back soon.
No, wait. If you're not afraid, I'll go along, too, and hold the flashlight steady for you.
Come along, then. Let's hurry.
Can you see all right?
Yes, go ahead.
Room 3 is down this stairway. Be careful. Straight ahead through that door.
I'll open it.
Stack 7 to the left. Did you hear anything?
Well, this time I did, yes.
Sounds like somebody's in this room. I'll flash the light around and see if... Holy! Look on the floor. It's Professor Cripps.
So it is, Jenks. The late professor.
Dead, isn't he?
Let me see. Yep. Shot through the back of the head. Same story as yours.
Let's get out of here.
Jink! Where are you? Can't see. What's happened?
Don't move.
Who are you?
This is a 45 in your back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't move, I said. What is your name?
Leonidas Witherall?
I thought so. Fine.
And you?
Lieutenant Max von Orden of the Army of the Greater Reich.
You're rather far from where you belong, aren't you?
I will get back.
Oh, of course, yes.
What do you mean?
Well, I won't ask you how you got here or why. I doubt if your answer would be reliable information.
You may doubt. You were going to bring my uncle $500. Do you have it with you?
Your uncle, Cripps, was your uncle?
Yes.
That's right. He did mention that part of his family was still in Germany. He was helping you with your escape, eh?
I fooled him completely. I told him that I was a member of the anti-Nazi underground. I told him that the Germans were pursuing me to all the corners of the earth. That I was safe nowhere, that I needed money. So he tried Mr. Yerkes.
Yerkes didn't believe the story and turned him down.
Yes. Then Yerkes went running to your house like an idiot. I knew there might be trouble, so...
So you followed Yerkes? Hid behind a tree and shot him as he entered my place.
Did I?
Your shoes give you away.
My shoes?
Never mind. Why did you shoot your uncle?
My uncle suddenly realized the truth.
So you...
Where's the money?
I didn't bring it with me.
Then you and I are going to your house and you will give it to me there.
After which?
I shall kill you, too.
Pleasant prospect.
I must. I must leave no one who knows about me.
Of course, Clark. Yeah.
Come on. We'll walk upstairs and out of this library. We'll go together down the street to your house. And you will be perfectly quiet. Remember, my .45 is in my pocket. You will give no sign, no signal. Start walking, Mr. Weatherall. Walk faster, Weatherall. Every minute is precious.
We haven't much further to go, just around the next corner.
You see, I knew that my uncle sensed the truth about me when he mentioned that book to you on the telephone. Hearts ablaze. It was obvious that he was trying to tell you to go to room 3, stack 7.
You're very perceptive,
oh,
aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, good evening, Maud.
Who's that?
Just a friend.
Remember, I have a .45. Watch what you say.
Well, did you find my cape yet? Oh, I beg your pardon.
Miss Haverstraw, Mr. Van Odin. Mr. Van Odin, Mrs. Haverstraw.
How do you
Haverstraw?
Do?
Mr. Van Odin just arrived in town. He's touring.
Oh, really? Is this your first time in this part of the country?
Yes, it is. It's charming.
Oh, and have you been in Dalton long?
Not very, no.
Well, you must let Leonidas show you everything. Where do you come from, Mr. Van Odin, out west?
Mr. Van Odin has recently arrived from Europe.
No. Oh, how exciting.
He's an expert on European affairs, especially on the problems in occupied Europe.
Why, that's wonderful. You're staying in Dalton for a while, I hope.
No, I'm sorry. I have other plans.
Oh, yes, but yes, you must stay for a few days. I'm simply dying to talk to you. As a matter of fact, I'm having a little luncheon tomorrow at my home.
But how?
Just a few of my friends and some of the Meredith faculty, and they'd be delighted to meet you. Won't you come over and tell us about your experiences?
I'm afraid...
Oh, please. It's at 1 o'clock.
I'd like to very much, but I'm afraid it's impossible.
Oh, Leonidas, you persuade him, won't you?
I wish I could. I do wish there was some way to keep him here.
Are you on your way home, Leonidas?
Yes.
Well, you must come to the luncheon, too.
Well, I don't know if I'll be available.
Well, I'm going to drop in at the tailor's, and then I'm coming by for my cape. And you're going to find it for me, Leonidas, if you have to turn your whole house upside down. See you both later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right, Weatherall, start walking. I saw your housekeeper at the window the last time I was here. I want to warn you again when we go inside.
Oh, I shan't say anything to Mrs. Mullet. Come on.
Oh, hello, Mr. Weatherall.
Oh, Mrs. Mullet, I've brought a guest. This is Mr. Van Odin.
How do, Mr. Van Odin? Would you like some tea?
I haven't much time.
Oh, a cup of hot tea'd be nice, I think. And I've some chocolate cookies, too. Have it for you in a second.
Now, sit down, won't you? Might like this chair. Very comfortable. So, it gives you a view of the room and of me. I could hardly make trouble for you, could I? With you and your revolver commanding the room from there.
And if you try.
Ah, fine chair, isn't it?
You sit in that one, there, where I can watch you.
Very well.
You look like someone I've seen somewhere.
Yes, Shakespeare. My good friends call me Bill. If you look up at that bust over your head, you see the resemblance.
Like whom you look is nothing to me, Weatherall.
Oh, of course.
Get the money. Yes, you can get up from that chair for that. Get the money. Why are you staring at me?
You know, you're the first genuine Nazi I've ever seen.
What of it?
I'm interested in your dimensions, your chemistry.
I don't follow you.
Your shoes, for instance. The hard, square shoes that left the footprints on my front lawn. I see them as the boots kicking a Frenchman in the stomach, then swaggering away as he coughs out his life on a Parisian street corner.
Be careful, Weatherall. Watch your tongue.
Your hands, Van Odin, I can see the precise fingers jabbing a needle into the vein of a starving schoolchild in Poland to provide more blood for your degenerate warrior.
Weatherall, you say one more word like that and I'll...
Oh, you're not going to kill me yet. You don't know where the money is. And your eyes, Lieutenant, they're the eyes at the bomb site over an English town, getting the school so accurately in line, making the death of the children a mathematical certainty.
You're wasting time. You're purposely wasting time.
And your mouth, the obscenities it must have spewed out, the same vile words that were poured into your ears by the leaders, measured and then poured, as a pharmacist would weigh a deadly drug. That's why I'm staring at you.
When you told me that you were in the German army, I wanted to put you out of our way forever. But that would never be enough. It's not going to be enough to rip the swastika from the Brown House in Munich.
Money or no money, if you don't shut up...
I feel that unless we go beyond that, unless we understand you, we shan't have won anything at all. We'll have to do the same dirty, heartbreaking job all over again. That's why I should like to get at the roots of your hate and your frustration.
And while you are theorizing, we shall overrun the earth. We're too clever for you. For instance, at this moment, I am winning. Isn't that right?
Yes, at this moment you are. But you Germans always make the same fatal error. You overlook the simple things. You always fail to see something very simple.
Well, here we are. Pipe and hot tea and some delicious cookies.
Thank you, Mrs. Mullett. Oh, bust of Shakespeare on the shelf, you haven't dusted it off.
Why, I certainly did. Don't you remember?
No, I don't. It looks very dusty. Would you please?
Oh, all right, if you say so. But I know I did it.
Well, do it again.
You're just being an old fuss budget. I'll dust this, so... Oh, my, I am sorry. I must have dusted too hard. Wasn't my fault, really. I guess I knocked your friend cold.
That's exactly what I hoped you would do.
Mr. Witherall, the way you treat your guests. First you stuff one into a closet, then you have this one bopped on the bean.
Mrs. Mullett, you've just captured a portion of the German army with a feather duster. Congratulations. And may I present you with his revolver?
I don't know what you're talking about. And I don't want that thing.
I'll open the door. Oh, hello, Maud.
Well, Leonidas, did you find my cape?
I did. It's on a chair in the living room. I'll get it.
Well, it's about time, and I just bet it was in that closet, too, all the time. Oh, dear. Isn't that nice Mr. Van Oden on the floor?
Yes.
Well, what's he doing there? Oh, Leonidas, after all, first there's a robbery or something in this house, and now that charming man sprawled on the floor. What is this all about?
Maud, as the gentleman I'm supposed to resemble has written... I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porcupine.
He's been acting strangely all day.
Suppose, Maud, we just say that Mr. Van Oden, being guilty of two murders, will not be at your luncheon tomorrow.
Two murders? Oh, gracious. This is just like one of those Lieutenant Hazeltine affairs. How'd you ever catch him?
He made a fatal error. He didn't notice something. Something very simple. Mrs. Mullett, would you call Sergeant McCobble?
I certainly will.
Maud, have some tea?
Proud to present the distinguished American actor, Walter Hampton, as Leonidas Witherall, in the first of Leonidas Witherall's radio adventures. And now, Mr. Hampton, what have we for next week?
Well, graduation time seems to be arriving at Meredith, the excellent school of which Leonidas is proprietor. And Leonidas is making plans for an unusual party of the alumni. It involves a place that is a skating rink in the summer and a swimming pool in the winter, and a homicide. Next week, when we meet up again with the adventures of Leonidas Witherall.
Thank you, Mr. Hampton. The radio script for tonight's Leonidas adventure was written by Howard Merrill, the producer, Roger Bauer. If you'd like to attend one of these broadcasts, well, if you're in New York or expect a visit here, just write to Leonidas Witherall, or if you prefer, to Bill Shakespeare. Make it Bill Shakespeare, care of WOR, New York 18. We'll be happy to send tickets without charge. The program originates at WOR. Walter Hampton in the Adventures of Leonidas Witherall is heard over most of these stations Sunday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern War Time. This is Mutual.